Hi friends, welcome back after a long time. So the book that today we are going to see is Daniel H. Pink, When? The Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing. It is the New York Times best-selling author from To Drive and To Sell Is Human is the books that he has already written, and I'm excited to read about the book. And coming to description, everyone knows the timing is everything, but we don't know how much. Our lives are a never-ending stream of when decisions, when to start a business, schedule a class, get serious about a person. Yet we make those decisions based on intuition and guesswork. Timing is often assumed is an art. In When, The Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing, Pink shows that timing is really a science. So I'm very excited to read about the book. So let's start reading. And this is from the story shorts, and let's begin there. So five big ideas that the book is discussing about. First one, our cognitive abilities fluctuate over the course of a day. Second one, innovation and creativity are greatest when we are not at our best. At least with respect to our circadian rhythms. This is known as the inspiration paradox. Between 60% and 80% of the people are third birds, neither larks or owls. Lunch, not breakfast, is the most important meal of the day. If you're feeling stuck in the middle of the project, picture one person who will benefit from your efforts. Dedicating your work to the person will deepen your dedication to your tasks. When summary. Chapter 1. The hidden pattern of everyday life. In our study, Positive Effect, language revealing that Twitter users felt active, engaged and hopeful, generally rose in the morning, plummeted in the afternoon and climbed back up again in the early evening. An important takeaway from one study on corporate executives is that communication with investors and probably other critical managerial decisions and negotiations should be conducted earlier in the day. Scientists that measured the effect of time of day on brain power have drawn three conclusions. First, our cognitive abilities to do remain static over the course of a day. As Pink writes, we are smarter, faster, dimmer, slower, more creative and less creative in some parts of the day than others. Secondly, these daily fluctuations are more extreme than we realize. In fact, according to Russell Foster, a neuroscientist and a chronobiologist at the University of Oxford, the performance change between the daily high point and the daily low point can be equivalent to the effect on performance of drinking the legal limit of alcohol. Third, how we do depends on what we are doing. Perhaps the main conclusion to be drawn from studies on effects of time of day on performance, says British psychologist. Perhaps the main conclusion to be drawn from studies on the effects of time on performance, says British psychologist Simon Fogart, is that the best time to perform particular task depends upon the nature of the task. Innovation and creativity are the greatest when we are not at our best, at least with respect to our circadian rhythms. This is known as inspiration paradox. Our moods and performance oscillate during the day. For most of us, moods follow a common pattern, a peak, a trough, and a rebound. In morning, during the peak, most of us excel at analytical work that requires sharpness, vigilance, and focus. Later in day, during the recovery, most of us do better on insight work that requires less inhibition and resolve. According to research, over several decades and across different continents, between about 60% and 80% of us are what Pink calls third birds, neither larks or owls. People born in the fall and winter are more likely to be larks. People born in the spring and summer are more likely to be owls. To solve insight problems, type, task and time need to align. Watch what social scientists call the synchrony effect. All of us experience the day in three stages, a peak, a trough and a rebound, and about three quarters of us, larks and third birds, experience it in the order. But about 1 in 4 people, those whose genes make them night owls, experience the day in something closer to the reverse order recovery through peak. To do better in the morning. So while I was reading this one, I just wanted to know what is lark and what is the significance of it, because it was clearly mentioned. So I'm gonna search about the lark. Lark is a small brown bird that makes a pleasant sound. And what is the significance of lark bird? Larks in mythology and literature stands for the daybreak. The lark is also associated with lovers and observance. Meanings of daybreak, often called a spiritual daybreak. So when we are defining the daybreak is nothing but the time in early morning where light first appear. So larks and owls are quite opposite in nature. So coming back, but about 1 in 4 people, those whose genes or age make them night owls, experience the day in something closer to the reverse order recovery, trough and peak. To do better in the morning, drink a glass of water when you wake up. Avoid coffee immediately after you wake up. Soak up in the morning sun and schedule talk therapy appointments for the morning. Chapter 2. Afternoons and coffee spoons. Study judges were more likely to issue a favorable ruling, granting the prisoner parole or allowing him to remove an ankle monitor in the morning than in the afternoon. So scientists offer 5 guiding principles for restoration breaks. Restorative breaks. Something beats nothing. High performance work for 52 minutes and then break for 7 minutes. And then break for 17 minutes. High performance habits for 52 minutes and then break for 17 minutes. Moving beats stationary. I'm sorry. One study showed that hourly 5-minute walking breaks boosted energy levels, sharpened focus and improved mood throughout the day, and reduced the feelings of fatigue in the late afternoon. Social beats solo. Research in South Korean workplaces shows that social breaks, talking with co-workers about something other than work, are more effective at reducing stress and improving mood than either cognitive breaks, answering an email, or nutrition tricks. Outside beats inside. People who take short walks outdoors return with better moods and greater replenishment than people who walk indoors. Fully detached beats semi-detached. Tech-free breaks also increase vigor and reduce the emotional exhaustion. So when we are referring to the vigor, it is nothing but the physical or mental energy and determination. The most powerful lunch breaks have 2 key ingredients, autonomy and detachment. Autonomy, exercising some control over what you do, how you do, when you do it, and whom you do it with, is critical for higher performance, especially on complex tasks. But it's equally crucial when we take breaks from complex tasks. Lunch, not breakfast, is the most important meal of the day. The ideal naps, those who combine effectiveness with efficiency, are usually between 10 and 20 minutes. The most powerful lunch breaks have 2 key ingredients, autonomy and detachment. Autonomy is something we can control over, how to do it, whom to do it. The Indian nap.
The Indian naps.
Sorry for that. There is a Google. Yeah, the ideal naps, that those combine effectiveness with efficiency, are usually between 10 and 20 minutes. So when we are taking a lunch break, then autonomy and also this detachment is the key things. each day alongside your list of tasks to complete, meetings to attend. The ideal naps that those combine effectiveness with efficiency are usually between 10 and 20 minutes. Each day alongside your list of tasks to complete, meetings to attend, the deadlines to hit, make a list of breaks you're going to take. Start by trying 3 breaks per day. When you're going to take those breaks, how long they are going to last and what you're going to do in each. Even better, put the breaks into your phone and computer calendar so that those annoying pings will remind you. The 20-20-20 rule. Before you begin a task, set a timer, then every 20 minutes look at something 20 feet away for 20 seconds. If you are working at a computer, this micro break will rest your eyes and improve your posture, both of which can fight fatigue. Take a 5-minute hourly walk. In Erickson's study, one factor that distinguished the best from rest is that they took complete breaks during the afternoon. Many even napped as part of their routine. Whereas non-experts were less rigorous about pauses. We might think that superstars power straight through the day for hours online. In fact, they practice with intense focus for 45 to 90 minutes bursts and then take meaningful restorative breaks. Chapter 3. Beginnings. Start right, start again, starting together. Beginnings have a far greater impact than most of us understand. Beginnings, in fact, can matter to the end. Although we can't always determine when we start, we can exert some influence on beginnings and considerable influence on the consequences of less than ideal ones. Although we can't always determine when we start, we can exert some influence on beginnings and considerable influence on the consequence of less than ideal ones. The recipe is straightforward. In most endeavors, we should be able to awake the power of beginnings and aim to make strong start. If that fails, we can try to make a fresh start. And if beginning is beyond our control, we can enlist others to attempt a group start. The 3 principles of successful beginnings. Start right, start again, start together. Before the project begins, convene with your team for a pre-mortem. Ask them, assume it's 18 months from now and your project is complete disaster. What went wrong? By imagining failure in advance, by thinking through what might cause a false effect, you can anticipate some of the potential problems and avoid them once the actual project begins. There are 86 days that are especially effective from making a fresh start. The first day of the month, 12, Mondays, 52, and the 4th day, spring, summer, 4, the country's independence or equivalent, your birthday and your loved one's birthday, the day of important religious holidays, the first day of a new job, the day of after graduation, the first day back from vacation, the anniversary of your wedding, first date of divorce, the first day you finish this book, the anniversary of the day you started your job and the day you became a citizen, the day you adopted a dog or cat, the day you graduated from school or university 4. There are 4 situations where you should go first. If you are on a ballot, county commissioner, prom queen or the Oscars, being listed 5 first gives you an edge. If you're not on the default choice, for example, if you're pitching against a firm and already that has account you're seeking, going first can help you a fresh look from the decision makers. If there are relatively few competitors, first going can help to take advantage of primary effect. The tendency people have to remember the first thing in a series better than those that come later. If you're interviewing for a job and you are up against several strong candidates, you might gain an edge from being first. This situation that you should not go first. If you are the default choice, don't go first. If there are many competitors, not necessarily strong ones, just a large number of them, going later can confer a small advantage of going last as confer a huge one. If you are operating in an uncertain environment, not being first one can work to your benefit. If the competition is meager, going toward the end can give you edge by highlighting your differences. If the competition is meager, going toward the end can give you an edge by highlighting your differences. If the competition is meager, going toward the end can give you an edge by highlighting your differences. So when we say the meager, the definition here is that is too small. To make fresh start a new job, begin before you begin. Pick a specific day and time where you visualize transforming into your new role. Let your results do the talking. Stockpile your motivation. Sustain your morale with small wins. Chapter 4, Mind Points. When Hakuna Candles and Mindlife Malaise can teach us about motivation. What Hanukkah Candles and Midlife Malaise can teach us about motivation. Happiness climbs high early in adulthood but downs to slide downward in the late 30s and early 40s dipping to the low in the 50s. But we recover quickly from this slump and well-being later in life often exceeds that our younger years. In one study, teams that were behind by just 1 point were more likely to win. In fact, deficit at off time won more than 58% of the time. According to researchers, merely telling people they were slightly behind an opponent led them to exert more effort. The best hope for turning a slump into spark involved these steps. First, be aware of midpoints. Don't let them remain invisible. Second, use them to wake up rather than roll over. Thought at midpoint, imagine that you are behind a spark, your motivation, but only by little. If you are feeling stuck in the middle of the project, picture one person who will benefit from your efforts. Dedicating your work to the person will deepen your dedication to the task. Chapter 5. Endings, Marathons, Chocolates, and Power of Poignancy. So poignancy is nothing but the fact you have the strong feelings of sadness or pity. The fact of making your strong feelings of sadness or pity. Endings of all kinds of experiences, projects, semesters, negotiations, stages of life shape your behavior in 4 predictable ways. They help us edit and they help us alleviate. Someone who is 49 is about 3 times more likely to run a marathon than someone who is a year older. At the beginning of pursuit, we are generally more motivated by how far we have progressed at the end. We are generally more energized by the trying to close the small gap that remains. When we remember an event, we assign the greatest weight to its most intense moment, the peak, and how it culminates the end. Far more on this one, The Power of Moments by Chip and Dan Heath. We downplay how long. Downplay to make something less important than it really is. We downplay more long an episode lasts and magnify what happens at the end. Daniel Kahneman calls it duration neglect. This end of life bias, as the researchers call it, says that we believe people's true selves as revealed at the end, even if their death is unexpected and the bulk of their life envisions a far different self. Adding a small component of sadness to an otherwise happy moment elevates the moment rather than diminishes it. The best endings don't leave us happy. Instead, they produce something richer, a rush of unexpected insight, a fleeting moment of transcendence, the possibility that by discarding what we wanted, we gotten what we need. If your answer to more of these is no, it might be time to quit your job. To the following. Do you want this job on your next work anniversary? Yes. In your current job, both demanding and in your control? Yes. If your job doesn't provide both challenge and autonomy and there's nothing you can do making things better, consider a move. Yeah. Does your boss allow you to do your best work? Yeah. Are you outside the 3 to 5 year salary bump now? Are you outside the 3 to 5 year salary bump window? Does your daily work align with your long-term goals? Does your daily work long-term goals? Yes. Studying 6. Thinking fast and slow. The secrets of group timings. Groups must synchronize on 3 levels, to the boss, to the tribe, and to the heart. The first principle of thinking fast and slow is group timing requires a boss, someone, or something above, apart from the group itself, to set the pace, maintain the standards, and focus the collective mind. After individuals sync to the boss, the external standards that sets the pace of their work, they must sync to the tribe to another one. That requires a deep sense of belonging. Singing to the heart is the third principle of group timing. Synchronizing makes us feel good, and feel good helps us group wheel runs more smoothly. Coordinating with others also makes us good, and doing good enhances synchronization. Thinking intenses a few final words. Research has shown we plan more effectively and behave more responsibly when future feels more closely connected to the current moment and our current selves. Thinking intenses a few final words. Research has shown we plan more effectively and behave more responsibly when the future feels more closely connected to the current moment and our current selves. Other books by Daniel H. Pink, Drive and To Sell Is Human. If you like When We Enjoy, I would also recommend to the other groups as recommended here. Ego is the MBA by Ryan Holiday. Start With Why by Simon Sinek. The Subtle Art of Not Giving Fuck is the by Mark Manson. So I enjoyed the book thoroughly. Research has shown we plan more effectively and behave more responsibly in the future feels more closely connected to the current moment and our current selves. So finally, I would say when it obviously depends upon the vibe, and it obviously depends upon the mindset and nature of work that you are going to do. So visualize the part before you start, and just keep the progress in the motivation and be mindful about what you wanted to do. This is a beautiful book that I have read. This is one of the beautiful books that I have read, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I recommend everyone, if you have a chance, please go to it. Thank you, and see you next time. Bye.